So today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Pei Daled, and we're starting our new perek this morning. And we might as well get a kind word from Richie with a find on the Halak perek, because the doc is sitting right next to him, even on my screen here, threatening. Oh. Go ahead, man.
Breathe it down my neck. Funkin the Halak perek.
Ah, lovely. It's good to have back for you down your neck. You do a great job. Okay, so now we begin. We're getting back to Yevamos. having had all of these amazing sugyas in between that have so much to do with so many of the other extended issues of Yevamot. And now we're going to talk about the overall picture of where we can have Yesh mutarot ba'alayim ve'asurot liyabayim. You can have women that are in all sorts of situations. We've been discussing from the beginning of the Masechet, of course, what happens if the women are psulas for Yibum. You can have many cases where a woman might be asura to the Yavam, which of course includes, as the Yerushalmi points out, includes the opening Mishnah, which we're not going to rediscuss over here. They are perfectly kosher to their husbands. When their husbands die, they're usher to the Yavam. But there are situations, there are curious situations, where because of a particular circumstance, we have a woman who was allowed to be married to her husband, but is not allowed to be married to the Yavam without it being an Erva. And we have the opposite. We have a woman that can be married to the Yavam, but wasn't allowed to be married to her own husband. And then, of course, we have the normal cases where a woman is mutara to both. And we have cases where the woman was asura to both. So the Mishnah is going to run through all of our various cases. So let's take a look at, first of all, ve'elu mutarot le'baleihem ve'asurot liyibayhem. We'll go through the cases where a woman is actually in a position. We're going to see in the Gemara whether is this really a full description of all of the cases, or is these examples of each one of the cases. That's going to be an important component of our discussion in the Gemara. So, Eilu Mutarot Baleihem VeAsurot LiYibayhem. So let's imagine a situation like this. A Kohen Hedyot is allowed to marry an Almana, right? So he goes ahead and he marries an almana, and he has a brother, however, and the brother is a Kohen Gadol. Now, a Kohen Gadol, of course, is not allowed to be married to a Yavama. And so, that's a great example, except for one minor problem. Even if she was not a Yavama, when he died and she falls to Yibum, she would have been a Yavama anyway, sort of by definition, you think, right? So how else did she fall to Yibum if he didn't die? And therefore, why do we need to talk about a case where his brother went ahead and married an Almana? Even if he hadn't married an Almana, if he had a brother who's a Kohen Gadol, the woman would be Asura at his death to the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so the Gemara will discuss this. So the Kohen Hedyot Nasata Almana v'yesh lo ach Kohen Gadol. So she is muteret to her own husband, but she's asura to the Yavam, who is a Kohen Gadol, a halal, who marries a woman who is k'shera l'ku'una, and yesh lo ach kasher. Now the problem is, once this halal, even though he's allowed to be married to a kohenet, but once he sleeps with her, and it says shenasa kashera, then he turns her into a halalah, because she slept with the Yisrei Kuhuna, and because of that, she becomes a halal, and the brother, who is a regular kohen, is not allowed to sleep with her. So she was mutara to her husband, but she now is asura to the Yavam. Now this, of course, involves a curious halacha, which is that there's no iser on a kohenet to be married to the halal, but once there's an iser on the brother, so then the brother, the Yavam, it now becomes asura on her, because she is a halala. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about in the Gemara where the derivation of that is. How do we know that the Yisuri Kahuna are sort of only one direction here? Then we have a Yisrael who marries a regular girl, but his Yavam, his brother, in the event that he dies, is a mamzer, and therefore she is muter to Balayam, but she cannot be married to the Yavam. A mamzer could have married a mamzeret, so that was perfectly okay. But then if he dies and the Yavam is not a mamzer and is a normal Ach Yisrael, so then she's asura to the Yavam. So all of these cases were mutarot to Baalayhem ve'asurot liyibayhem. Now we have cases that are mutarot liyibayhem, but are asurot liyibayhem. So let's take a look at these cases where, curiously, the husband was actually not allowed to be married to her, but now if he dies, the Yavam has every right to be married to her and to do Yibam. Well, what would that be? So we have a Kohen Gadol, and he was Mikadesh in Almanah, but he never slept with her. He wasn't Nasa et Almanah. So far, what we have is a situation where she is not turned into a Zona because of this relationship, or a Halala here in this case, because it's an Yisrei Kuna. And Yesh Lo'ach Kohen Hedyot. So the brother is perfectly allowed to be married to an almana, but the one who died is not. So she was asurot lebaleihem. How about a kosher kohen who was nasa achalala? He wasn't allowed to do that. So she was asurah to the husband, but he's got a brother who is a halal and therefore doesn't have the iser, doesn't have the kedusha sakuna that asers her, him from marrying her. So there again, she's allowed to the yavam, but she wasn't allowed to her husband. How about a Yisrael who marries a mamzeret, which is completely aser, but the yavam is a mamzer anyway, and therefore he would be allowed to do yibum to the mamzeret? Or how about a mamzer that marries a bat Yisrael? So in that case, he, of course, did an iser, and that marriage is illicit, but the case over here is that his brother, the Yavam, is just a regular guy, and he's an Ach Yisrael. So he's allowed to be married to a woman who was once married to a mamzer. There's no iserim on Yisrael to marry a woman who was married to a mamzer, in this case his brother. So in all of these cases, we have a mutaret liyavama, but asurat lebaala. Now we've got cases where they are asurot to both. So we have a Kohen Gadol who marries an almana, and he has a brother. And now at this point, it wouldn't matter really what his brother is. So whether his brother is also a Kohen Gadol now that he died, or whether his brother's a Kohen Hedyot, the point is that since he was Nasat Almanah, he had already slept with the Almanah. So this Almanah then becomes Asura as a Chalala to any Kohen that there is. And therefore, she is Asurot to both. How about a Kosher, Shenasa Chalala, the Yeshlo Ach Kosher? So in this case, the Chalala was Asura to both of them. A Yisrael marries a Mamzeret, and Yeshlo Ach Yisrael. So then she wasn't allowed to be married to either of them. A Mamzer, who married a Bat Yisrael, and his brother is also a Mamzer, so she's not allowed to marry either of them. These are Asurot Le'elu V'le'elu, but normal, Sharkal Anashim, Mutarot Le'baleihem V'le'yibbehem. Now that's not so obvious, because the question is, are there no other cases? Because what it's saying is, and anybody else would be Mutarot to both. Which, of course, implies that, I mean, I don't know, what about the Arayot and so on that it doesn't bother mentioning here? Now, how about the Shniyot Midivrei Sofrim? So you could have cases as well that you have a Shniya, who is, of course, one of the Gezeras, the Rabbana that we spoke about. So you could have a case, let's say, where the grandmother, let's say that you have brothers who are brothers from a father, but they have different mothers. So maybe the grandmother is a grandmother to one of them and not to the other at all. So you could have, obviously, a case where it was a Shniya Labal, Over here, you have a case of Asur Labal Mutar Liyavam. What we want to do here is go through cases where we have a relationship, one particular relationship that could fit all of the cases in the Mishnah. So we have a Shnia to the Baal, the Lo Shnia Liyavam. Okay, then it would be Asur Labal Mutar Liyavam. We could have the opposite case where she's a Shnia Liyavam, the Lo Shnia Labal. Okay, so then she's Asur Liyavam Mutar Labal. We could have a case where it's a shniyah to both, and it's, they are brothers from the father and mother. Asur lezeh lezeh. Now, in cases like that, what would be the din? Because she is married illicitly. So what's the halacha, legabe the dinim of ktuvah? It's like, do we support that marriage by giving her ktuvah, and or does she lose her rights because she was over on this derabbanan? So the halacha of that is, that if a person violated the halacha, so then she loses her ketubah. And ein la, her rights never getting the ketubah, obviously, ein la lo ketubah, the lo peirot, so she doesn't have, remember that besides the ketubah, there's also a din of his being allowed to eat the peirot. So the case, the halacha over there of peirot, is that if a woman, remember, has nechsei maluk, it's her field, it's her garden, And she is now not giving it over to the husband, but the halacha is that he is allowed to be nehene from all of the profits, right? But that was given to him in exchange for his chiyuv to go and redeem her in the event that she's kidnapped. Now, in a case where he does not have that chiyuv, he should not have peirot. Since over here he does not have that chiyuv, he should not have the right to peirot. And if he did eat peirot, then one would think that he would have to pay her back for those peirot. However, because of this knas of the marriage being illicit, and the Gemara is going to talk about this in detail tomorrow, that we sort of blame her for this. So she, because of that, does not have the right to get her peirot back. Furthermore, normally, of course, the husband is mechuyev to provide mizonot not only during the marriage, but even after he dies, he has to provide mizonot. Well, not in this case. That's all part of what the ketuvah is b'chayev, and there is no chayev over here at all. So there's no mizonot, and there's also not even blaot, so that if the Baal utilized the nechsei malug, and he was wearing a coat, let's say, that she had had as this nechsei malug, and now it's all worn out, he is not mechuyev to pay her for any worn out things. If there's anything left, she takes it, and she's got to be satisfied with that. In the event that they have a child together, the child is completely kosher. There's no gezerah, even for the kahuna on a daughter, there is no gezerah on the child. And kofino tolohotzi, he's, of course, going to be forced by the bezdin to be megarisher. An almana l'kohen gadol, on the other hand, or a grusha v'chalutzi l'kohen hedyot, on the other hand, or for that matter, mamzer v'netina l'Yisrael, abat Yisrael, mamzer v'netin, you'd think, oh my heavens, I mean, there we're talking about some serious Yisurin over here, and for sure she shouldn't have a ketuvah, right? But for some reason wrong, and of course the Gemara will go into why this would be true, but yesh la ketuvah, she has her full ketuvah, which includes the payment of the ketuvah, plus the peros, plus the mizonot, plus the bilaot, and anything else that comes under the general rubric of a ketuvah. And the reason is, there's a number of issues that are here. Remember that even though it appears odd to be more worried about an issur d'rabbanan than an issur d'oraita, but we have this klal that divrei Torah ain't tzrichin chizuk, whereas divrei chachomim are tzrichin chizuk, and there's also issues of who was the one that was responsible for getting into this pickle. And the Gemara is going to be machalic in places where a woman would never attempt to get this relationship going because she knows that because she's causing problems to her husband, it's going to not survive the relationship. And there we blame the male. Mashenkin, in cases where there's no actually, let's say the case where the children are completely kosher and there's no reflection on the husband by the marriage, so then we blame her for, well, normally women go after the men and we because of that we blame her. In the case where where she does have what to lose, so then we don't blame her. Then we just say, okay, so this is a normal case of his being attracted to her, and he went for the winning. So in all of those cases, there's an afkamina. These are going to be interesting discussions in the Gemara. So there, yesh lem ketuva. Now, of course, our question over here starts off immediately with what the heck was the point of saying in the opening of the Mishnah, we're saying the case over here that he went ahead and he was nasa. Why was he nosei an almana? Nosei, we always use that word, nosei almana, where we're talking about a problem of his having pasled her by sleeping with her, right? But even if he has a brother as a Kohen Gadol, and he's a Kohen Edya, then even if he never slept with her, and all he did was he mekadesh her, an almana is still going to be asura by definition. She was an almana before. So what's the point over here of saying that he actually slept with her? Well, later on we'll ask the other question, in which case she would be an almana no matter what, because he's going to have to die in order for it to fall to the brother. Right. But first, let's just talk about what's the issue. So, Vachite Emil told me, well, I mean, because if the Kohen Gadol is going to have to face a woman who is both a tase and a lo tase, right, because she's now not a virgin, so Yisha betula yikach, plus the iser lav of lo yikach ben almana. But if he was only mekadesh her, so then maybe we should say that the mitzvahs asay of yibum should come along and be docha the lo tase ben almana the kohen gadol. I mean, that doesn't make sense that the Mishnah would be discussing that, because I mean, throughout the entire perek, the whole perek is about cases of esse velota esse, and veloatsi esse vedochilota esse. I mean, that's, we had all these discussions so many times in the question about being gozer, the bia shnia, and so on. I mean, that doesn't make sense. There's going to be lots of cases like that. So why did we need to say nasa? Well, that's because the last part of the Mishnah does have to discuss nasa. Because over there it talked about if the brother, this case was where the one who died, the brother who died is a Kohen Gadol, and he was nosei an almana, so over there she's asur lezeh vilezeh, and there she's only asur lezeh vilezeh in the event that he actually had slept with her already. So that's why it had to say nasa, because he needed to make her a chalala, because otherwise she wouldn't be asur on the yovam. So because of that, Gavokidesh, if it had only been Mekadesher, then she would have been Muteres, because she never became a Chalala. So because of that, we said in the Reisha, also the din of Nasa. But it's certainly, that's not Nogea. Well, I don't understand. That's ridiculous. The Mishnah has three cases of a Kohen, right, with this Almana issue. So instead of writing a Nasa in the Reisha, in order to make it match the Seifa that says Nasa, the next case does not say Nasa, the middle case in the Mishnah. Lit nevishu mitziyata, Kohen Gadol shekideish et almana. That was Dafka, the case that we had afterwards, where if the Kohen Gadol had only been a Kaddisher, and he has an Ach who's a Kohen Gadol, that in that case, since he had not made her into a Chalala, she would be allowed to the Yavama, right? To the Yavama. So, why should we skip over that case to match up the parallel of the Reisha to the Seifa? Let's match parallel it to the middle case, and then it would be more accurate anyway. So this is silly. Okay, I'll tell you why. That it's because actually of Batbukta. Batbukta means a neighbor, somebody that lives right there, right in your little alleyway. So that Barbukta, remember we had back in Shabbos that we went through different words. What does that word mean? Bukta, we said it means be'akta, meaning a narrow place that you can't really get through. It's a small alley. So we call it a bukta. Anyway, but the next, meaning the next actual case, we want to talk about a case of a halal who was nasa akishera. And over there, it has to be Nasa, because it's because she became a Chalala. That's the only reason that she became Asura to the Yava. Because over here, he was a Chola, but he has a brother who is a Kosher Kohen. So the only reason that that case works is because he was Nasah. But if he had only been Bekadosh or Avak Yidesh, Sharia Leizer, since the very next case is discussing the Nasah in terms of the Kuna, Mishomachi Katani Nasah in the first case also. Yeah, but the whole thing is a little bit crazy, isn't it? I mean, if a Kohen marries an Almana and he has a brother who is a Kohen Gadol, and if he would have married a woman who's not an Almana, wouldn't she become an Almana when he died? She felt the Yibam? I see, this is a little bit silly. So my Ari Diktani, Almana, just say he married a wonderful, a Betula, and it would have been Ruya to anyone and so on. And now, however, that he died, obviously, so now she became an Almana, and therefore she can no longer marry into this case. It's like a little bit weird, says the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, well, there's an issue over here that needs to be taken into account. And that is that what we want to talk about, let me just switch here, I'm having a problem with my screen again, so I'll switch to my Gemara. So, you maybe you'll say, v'chi tema, that the reason is that actually, remember we had a machlokas way back at the beginning, what is the status that defines the nefila to Yibam? Is it the actual original marriage? That when she gets married, the Torah already has set aside a relationship, which is activated if he dies with the Yavam. But that's called Nisurin Harishonim Mapilim. So that means that in order for you to determine whether someone is Usser or Mutter, all you need to do is look at the status at the original marriage. That's what's going to be Koveya. Okay, so then if that's the case, then over here, at the time that they married, she wasn't Asura. She only became Asura at the moment that he died, when she became a Yavama. So maybe that's why it has to be talking about specifically this case. The problem is that that cannot be true, because the Mishnah includes also the case of a halal shenasa kishera. So it says over there, if he has a kosher brother, then she is a surah to the yavam. But why don't we say over there that she should be mutar to the yavam if nisuim arishonim apilim, and at the time that he married her, she was mutar to the yavam because she had not yet become a halala before he slept with her. So obviously the Mishnah does not hold that nisuim arishonim apilim. So Havada, then the point over here is that for sure there's no way out of our saying that we have a ridiculous case only because of the Seifa. We're trying to contrast. The Kabbalah means the Seifa Kohen Gadol Shinasat Almana V'yesh Lo Ach Kohen Gadol O Kohen Ediyot. So over there, the whole point is that it's Dafka. There he took her when she was an Almana, and that was the Isser to the Kohen Gadol. And then in taking her as an Almana, she becomes now a Chalala when he sleeps her. So if we would have set the case over there that he was a Kohen Gadol who had married a Betula, so then she would have been Ru'uya to the Kohen Hedyot. And therefore at that time she was Mutar to Kohen Gadol, she never became a halala afterwards. So because of that, we need to talk about the case of almana. So we talk about the case of an almana in the Resha. Okay, now the question is like this. If it's actually true, getting back, and this is something that Rav Papa raised, getting back to an issue that we had in the previous parak about the Mitzris, and who, if you marry a Mitzri marries a Mitzris, who does it go according to? Does it go according to the generations of the male, or does it go according to the generations of the female? And we had, remember, those two approaches over there. Now, when Ki Usser of Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, remember that Rav Dimi had the opposite approach in Rav Yochanan, according to which a Mitzri Sheni Shenasa Mitzrit Rishon, the child goes after the mother, and the bina is a sheni instead of following the father, which would have made it a shlishi, right? So then we've got a great case in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah leaves it out, which implies that the case doesn't exist. Because why didn't we say in the Mishnah a really cute case? A Mitzri sheni, so you've got one brother who is a Mitzri Sheni who went ahead and married two Mitzriot, okay? One was a Mitzri Rishona, and one was a Mitzri Shniya. Now, he goes ahead and has children from both of these women. So now we've got two brothers. One is a Mitzri Sheni, who is Usser, and what is a Mitzri Shlishi, because we're going according to the mothers. Now, if we go ahead and Inasiv Ki Urchayu, if these women now will, if these men now go ahead and marry women which are Mutarot to them, so in other words, the Mitzri Shlishi, he went ahead and he married a Jewish woman because he is a child that is now Mutarot Bekal. So he marries a regular Yisraelite. The Mitzri Sheni marries the Mitzri Shnia, because she's not allowed to marry a Yisraelite. We've got a great case. We've got a case of Mutarot Lebaleihem, the Asurot Lebaleihem. And in the event that they married opposite the Isser, then they would have Iepach Venisav. So suppose they married backwards, that the Mitzri Shlishi married the Mitzri Shnia, that he wasn't allowed to marry or wouldn't have married, depending on the considered to be Kal or not. And the one that was a Mitzri Sheni went ahead and he didn't want to marry a Mitzri. He went ahead and married Be'isser. He married into the Kal Hashem. So then that would be the opposite case. There are Mutarot Lebaleihem, the Asurot Lebaleihem, Mutarot Lebaleihem, Asurot Lebaleihem. And we could even have a case where they're Mutarot to both, that they married, both of these men married Giorot, and they could be Asurot to both. So let's say in this case, the Mitzri Sheni marries an Ilonit. But, I mean, why would we leave out a case that offers so many rich possibilities? Well, we're not interested in telling you every single case. Tonavishir. So indeed, we could have said that case, and it's no problem to disprove the whole approach of Ravdimi in Rabbi Yochanan, and just left out this case. Well, wait a minute, just left out this case. You don't leave out one case. Tell me another case that was left out. I mean, this is the other case. Then not saying it is proof positive that it's not actually a case, which is would obviously be because of the other Lashon of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it goes according to the father. Well, if it goes according to the father, then the brothers who have to be brothers from the father wouldn't be able to have a situation where one is married back to one is married to Isser because they're both going to be a bit shlishi, shady, whatever the case is, right? So this case obviously only works according to Rav Dimi's approach, and Rabbi Yochanan, namely, that it goes according to the mother's status as a mitzrit. So I want to see another example of something that you've left out. Oh, simple. We could have said a case of Pitzua Daka, couldn't we? So we could have said that a Pitzua Daka, who has a normal brother, and he went and married a Yisraelite, it was a surah to the Baal, and it's mutter to the Yavam, or vice versa. You have a regular guy who's got a brother, but Pitzua Daka is mutter to the brother, also to the Yavam, and so on. I mean, just tell me the cases. Both brothers are Pitzua Daka, but it's exactly the same kind of case where you could have all of the variations by determining who is what in this Isser. No, that's not an issue. Oh. Why would I have said Pitzua Daka? That's not considered to be a left out. I mean, because the Mishnah talks about Chai Ve'Lavim, and we already talked about Chai Ve'Lavim. So if I bring you an example of a Chiyuv of a Lav, I don't need to bring you more examples of a Chiyuv of Lav, do it? Do I? So, says the Gemara, if we're talking about that for over a year, that would be an advantage, because we need to tell you what about an Isra Asei. The Mitzri Isurim, that is a good point, should say it, because they are a Chiddush that a Mitzri Asei could also be Mutarat Yavam Asurim. We want to give you examples of all types. But Pitzua Daka, I've already given you examples of Chavilavim. What do you mean you've given me examples of Chai Ve'Lavim? But you've given me more than one example of Chai Ve'Lavim. Oh, to Chai Ve'Lavim, Milo Katani Vadatani. You've given him multiple examples. How are you, all of a sudden, you've decided that the mission is only giving examples, a model of each type? That's not true. It tells us other Lavim. I mean, what about the case of Kohen Hedya, Chinas Almona, V'Yishloach, Kohen Gadol, that whole case? We have the case of Chalal, Shenasa Kishera, Yesho Ach Kosher. These are all Chai Ve'Lavim. I mean, we don't say, how come you're telling us so many Chai Ve'Lavim? So if you're telling us Chai Ve'Lavim, then why did you leave out Pitzua Daka? Apparently because Tana V'Shir. So therefore, so maybe I could say that, but I can't say that as an answer to why not tell me this new issue. of the Chayve Aseh, give me an example of the Chayve Aseh, unless it's simply not so, because we couldn't come up with this example, because the approach of Reb Dimi was wrong, and Reb Yochanan actually says it goes according to the founder. Says the Gemara, no. It does not give multiple examples of a Chayve Lav. It doesn't? No. Because each one of those cases is necessary. Because Ahu Itzrichale, that additional case, you're telling me it has two lavim. It gives you one lav of a Kohen Gadol Shenas Almona, gives you another example of a Cholo Shenas Ksheira. That is not another example. That's coming to tell me a special din. Namely, Domer Vyud Omer Rav, the idea that a Kohen is usher to marry a Chalala does not mean that a Ksheira is usher to marry Ksheira Lekohuna, Kohen is Ksheira, that she is usher Asura to marry a Chalal. Because that's what the whole case is based on. So it's coming to tell me that lo huzaru haksherot inaseh lipsulim. And that case brings that out. The Chalal married the Kosher, and this case is considered to be a case of muteret lebalayhem, but asurat leyibayim. Okay, fine. But there's still another case. Okay, how about the case of a Chalal shenasa kishera, and he has an ach who is kosher. That was the case. Deisho ach kosher. So this is asura on the yavam. And then it says Yisrael shenasa bas Yisrael v'yisho ach mamzer. So, I mean, that's certainly a lav. So that means it's telling us different types of chayvei lavim where there's no particular chiddush. So we see that there has got to be a reason for leaving out a good case of the Mitzri Sheni case. It can't be because of Tana V'Shir, because we are interested in giving examples of each one of these. Says the Gemara, no, that's also not cause, because if we give a lot of examples. We don't give a lot of examples, but each one of those examples is necessary. Why? Because there's two different types of lavim. There's ashbina lav she'eno shaveh b'kol, v'kamash malan b'lav ha'shaveh b'kol. Look, we've got cases, yes. I told you the cases of the kahuna. So there I understand I've got all of these fascinating cases where it would be the case of Muteret Labala and so on and so forth. But I need to have a case of a lav, which is Shaveh B'kol, which is the case of Mamzer, and to show me what the din would be in terms of the population at large. So we have also two different types of examples. Says the Gemara, but Hakatan Yisrael Shenasa Mamzeres V'yeshlo Ach Yisrael. The Tana goes over additional lavim. What kind of, what's the bigger chiddush about that? So if so, why didn't it say Petsua Daka? Must be because of Tana Vashia. So then that means that you can't bring a proof against Rav Dimi B'Shem Rav Yochanan. Anyway, getting back to, you quoted that there's an important reason for us to mention the case of the Chalal, and it wasn't, I mean, I understand that now we're saying Tana Vashir, and I can avoid all of that discussion, but you said there's an important reason why it is that we mentioned that case. And the important reason was to teach me what Rav Yudam Rav said, namely that Kohanot, Kisherot, they don't have a problem marrying a Chalal. The only Isser is for a Chalala to marry a Kohen, but that's the Isra and the Kohen, but she does not have a problem. So the question is, do we see this anywhere directly from the Mishnah, like you're claiming? Gufa, Omer Rav Yudam Rav, Lo Huzaru Kisherot Inaseh Psulim, and in the context of that teaching, Lechora, the Raya that you brought, because you said that's what the Mishnah has come to teach us, is actually a raya to what Rav Yudam Rav is saying, that there's no iser on kosher kohanot to be married to a halal. Why? Because the Mishnah says, halal shenasa kishera, that was an example of a case where she's mutarit to her husband. I'm assuming that when it says kishera, it means a kohenet, right? So it must mean a halal got married to a kohenet, and that's called ru'uyalo, because when he uses the word kshera, it's kshera lekuna, and the Mishnah is saying that a kohenet is kshera and muteret in marriage to a halal. Exactly what Rav said. It's even strange that it would need to be saying if it's so clear from the Mishnah. Well, says the Gemara, actually, it's not even a raya from the Mishnah. Lo. Maybe kishera simply means a Yisraelite. And when it says kishera, it means kishera to the kahal, and that she's not an Isur, one of the Isurei kahal. I mean, when it says over here, it tells me kishera means kishera le kahal. So when it says that halal shenasa kishera v'yesho ach kasher, what does it mean when it says ach kasher? It means kasher le kahal. So what does that mean? That the halal is not kosher le kahal? That's absurd. It's not b'chlal de hupasal le kahal. That's not the case. There is no psul of a halal to marry a normal person. So then when we said kasher, we meant the kohen kasher. So when we talked about a ksheira, we meant the kohen at ksheira, right? So I mean, who kohen? Then he kohen it. Bechara. Oh, says the Gemara, look, I mean, we can use kosher in different ways. I mean, when it comes to him, it was important that he be a kohen for the case. So my ira, this is called a riot to you. Maybe each one is kidayita, kidayita, kidayita. And kasher means kohen. And kishera means kishera lakal for a Yisraeli. We can't bring a raya to Rav Yehuda Amarav. Masiv Rabban Bar Nachman on Rav Yehuda from a braita. And it seems to be saying the exact opposite of what Rav Yehuda was saying. Namely, here it says, why does it say lo yikachu, the shagrusha, and the lo yikachu, we have the chalala. Why does it repeat lo yikachu? You could have just listed everything and then said, lo yikochu the kohen, we shouldn't marry these psulot at the end. This is coming to teach me, says the Braisa, melamechi isha museret al yedeha ish, that the lo yikochu applied to both sides, the man and the woman. So if a kohen is asur to marry a chalala, isha chalala, lo yikochu, so then that would mean that a kohenet who is a kshira is asura to a chalal. That's what it seems to be saying, that these Isurim apply on both sides of the spectrum. Oh, my Rav, why does it mean that? Why doesn't it mean exactly what it's saying? That wherever a man is usur in a relationship, the woman shares that isur. But not that we can have a mirror image of that relationship. So in other words, if the kohen is kosher and he's marrying a chalala, you shouldn't think that the only one who's doing an Isser and is going to be Chayev Malkus is the male. The female is also going to be Chayevet. That's what it's saying. Lo yikachu, wherever he is Osir, heichaduhu muzar, if he muzaret. But if he is not muzar, such as in the case that you're telling me, that he is a halal, so kol heichaduhu lo muzar, so why, just because she's a kohenet, should she be asura? It's only an Isra on a Kohen to marry a Chalala, but there was no Isra on a Chalal to marry someone. So now you're telling me we'll create a new Isra because it's Asur on her. Where does it say that? So therefore, this has nothing to do with the case of Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Well, that can't be true, says the Gemara. Isn't it a general principle that wherever you have an Isra, then that Isser goes on both participants in the Isser of Arias? I don't learn that out from here. I learn that out from a whole different Rav Yehuda Amarav, which is also actually a Braisa of Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, and that's the famous pasuk, Ish O Isha Ki Yasu Miko Chatot Adam, from which we learn, Hishva Katuv Isha LeIsh L'Chol Nashim Sheba Torah. The Torah considers male and female in any Isurim to be equivalent, and therefore you are going to share the onesh. So that's a given. So then what do I need the lo yikachu for? That must be telling me not mirror onashim, it must be telling me mirror Isurim. And that if there's an Isur for a Kohen to marry a Chalala, there's an Isur for a Kohenet to marry a Chalal. That's what it seems to be saying, which is against Rav Yehuda Amarav. And it says the Gemara, not necessarily. I'll tell you why. Because if I would have only had that pasuk, which is the other Rav Yehuda Amarav's pasuk of Isha Isha, Ki Asur Miko Chatot Adam, so I might have thought, Hava Amina, that is telling me only about a lava shaveh biko. So that if it's a universal Isser, so okay, anybody who engages in these universal Isserim, male or female, is going to be Chayev or Chayevet, as the case may be. But a lav sheino shevab kol, these special lavim that are only chal on kohanim, so we tell a kohen gadol, you can't marry an almana. Okay, so that's his business, not her business. So he wants to sleep with the almanazis, but it's not an issur on me. Comes along the pasuk, lo yikachu, lo yikachu, to say, wherever I tell you that he can't marry you, madam, you can't marry him. But it certainly doesn't mean to create an opposite mirror image case. And therefore, we still need it. Lav shenu shava b'kol. I wouldn't be able to learn out from there at all. Asks the Gemara, but it isn't really true. When Rav Yehuda says that what? That a lav shava b'kol? What about the lav of the iser of tuma? Kohanim are not allowed to be tummy. Now that is not a lav shava b'kol. Only Kohanim, right? Now, are women Kohanot allowed to become tumeot? Actually, yes. But why? Because we have a special pasuk that says yes. But not because of the fact that, well, a woman is always the same thing as a man. No, that we don't say. So the idea over here is the taima, dekat rachmana b'nei Aaron. So we darshan from there, b'nei Aaron, velo b'not Aaron. So that ish mi b'nei Aaron, that's all of the Yisurim of Tuma, but not mi b'not Aaron, which implies that if I would have had that pasuk, what would I have said? Hava amina, that nashim are chayavot in the iser tuma. Now, why would nashim be chayavot in the iser tuma? Where would we get that din from? My taima, because of Rabbi Yehuda Merav. But that means that Rabbi Yehuda Merav, that says women are the same as men, refers also to these unique iserim of the kahuna. So you see that we would not have said that Rabbi Yehuda Merav is only referring to iserim that are universal. Says the Gemara, no, not true. That would have been because of the lo yikachu itself. In other words, once we have the pasuk of lo yikachu, which tells me that the women are also asurim in the isure kahuna, so then, okay, then I would say, well, now that I know that, so then it would be the same thing when it comes to tuma. That's why I need the pasuk to tell me, but when it comes to tuma, not. Lo yikachu, don't you dare do something that was awesome. But when it comes to tuma, daber al b'nei Aaron. Or others say, actually, in a very fascinating answer, that why do I need the pasuk lo yikachu in the first place? Which we said, because we would have thought the Rabbi Yehuda and Merav were only talking about universally serving. No, they're just the opposite. The reason we need the lo yikachu twice is because I would have thought that since the Torah said when it came to the Isurei Tuma that the Benot Aaron don't have an Isur of Tuma, so because of that you would think they don't have the Isur of the Isurei Kuhuna either. Therefore, I need to tell me lo yikachu that when it comes to Tuma, only a male is Asur but not a female. But when it comes to the sexual Isurei, the male and female are both Asurim. So maybe we could turn the whole thing on its head and use the actual Din of Tuma as an answer to our original problem. Kamash Malan, therefore, Lo Yikachu comes to tell me that women are Asurites and Psulites.